Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a great day and a great week. Well, here's a question for you today. What does it look like when our faith and our health intersect? And what does it mean for us to flourish? And I mean flourish emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Well, we are continuing our monthly feature with one of our favorites, Dr. Troy. It's another segment of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, where we take your questions about health and healing. This is always a favorite of our listeners and a favorite of ours at Faith Radio. We're so honored to always have him in studio with us. So the phone lines are open, 877-933-2484. It's a toll-free call, 877-933-2484. We are going to talk for a couple of minutes about flourishing. So if you don't mind holding, you can call right away. A couple quick announcements first. We've got a brand new market in Bismarck, 89.1 FM. So glad to be in your community and glad to have you in our family. Also want to give a shout out to those listening in on 94.1 FM in Hartford, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM in Madison, and one of the two FM signals in the Twin Cities, 90.7 or 97.5. We are so glad to be in your family and have you just be with us on this faith journey. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. I don't think he needs an introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. Dr. Troy Sperl is CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions, this is so true about him, to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota. Always honored to have you with us, Dr. Troy. Welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
Looking forward to the conversation. Dr. Troy almost never, ever drinks coffee, and he's got coffee today. I might
be speaking quickly.
Exactly. And his arms and legs are going to start moving. It only takes a sip for him, and he can, like, run a marathon. So there you go. Well, you know the drill. We love to talk scripture. Wondering if you got a verse on your mind you can share with us.
Yes, definitely. Psalm 72:7. During his days, the godly will flourish. Hmm. Peace will prevail as long as the moon remains in the sky. And so I absolutely love this verse for a couple reasons. First of all, a couple things kind of pop out. During his days, and then the godly will flourish. And really, that's what it's about as far as what does that mean, the godly? And for me, it's about being righteous, about striving for that righteousness. And even though we're imperfect and we live in an imperfect world and we know that we will be attacked just for our faith at times, there's a promise in that, yeah, that the godly will flourish. Mm-hmm. And we know where we're going. We know what we're about. And I just get goosebumps when times are tough. I know what's ahead. And that's just good. That hope, just that promise, it's a promise from
it
God.
It is.
And so just having that promise is fuel. Mm-hmm. And so when you can be in that and live in that, when times are tough, when you're struggling, knowing that it fuels you. And then there's a depth to the energy that you didn't have before that comes, yeah, and allows you to take that next step. And I've heard many, many people say, I don't know why I'm driven to do what I'm doing. And then afterwards they start to understand it a little bit more. Sometimes I think we're crazy with some of the stuff we take on as humans, with how we feel. But when we are in the Word and when we're practicing and being righteous and we're really making God proud at times, there's a fuel in that keeps us going.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about flourishing, that's a part of it. For me, it doesn't mean we flourish all the time. It means that there's a promise of flourishing later on, and there are moments where we get little bits of that because we're not fully perfect at all, and it's always about striving for that righteousness. So just being a Christian and walking that walk, this is a good reminder, because sometimes life can get so tough that we need that hope of that promise.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's so good. So many verses are running through my head as you're talking. Jesus saying, you know, my food is to do, my bread is to do the will of the one who sent me. And then also Psalm 126, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. They go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, but they come back with a harvest in their arms. You know, he turns my mourning into dancing. And so you're so right. There are those seasons where it feels like we're not flourishing, but there is a hope of restoration. There's a hope of an end of our crisis, but then there's the greater hope of the full restoration. And Dr. Troy, yesterday we had John Eldridge on, and he's, again, one of our faves. Yeah, he's so good. And he's got a great new book titled All Things New. And he talked about the fullness of restoration that is to come. And he said, we don't talk enough about it. And I would love for you to speak to this, because he said, you know, hope needs to make a comeback, because faith, hope, and love are the greatest. And he said, they're even learning in medical studies that hope is like morphine, and that it's good for the system to hope. So speak to that if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. When we many times we'll treat people and we assess them the first time. So we'll go through a complete assessment, not have done anything, but we'll have connected the dots just a little bit for them where there's a potential of improvement. And people will walk out of the room and say, is it weird that I feel better already?
Wow.
And we haven't done anything yet except for connect the dots. And the answer is yes. It's not, not yes.
No,
it's weird.
Not weird.
No, it's completely normal. Mm. And we see it all the time, because just having that hope, when you have that hope, it's inhibiting the fear. It's inhibiting the negative worry. It's inhibiting those systems that drive and knock us down. And we'll be talking about that a little bit with the flourishing of the mind, body, and spirit. But our mind, when we don't guard our thoughts, there are consequences to that. And hope is the cure to the misuse of our imagination, the worrying, the anxiety. Having hope, it's meant to be temporary. But when you can continually build off of that hope and then remember promises that we have and continually go back to them, there is there's healing in that, mm-hmm. because we actually can start to see and measure the negative impact of the inhibitory parts of the brain start to shut down. Hope will shut that down. And then when that's followed up with actual results and stuff that you can feel, stuff you can see, stuff you can hear, then we start to believe it more, and our beliefs really drive a lot of outcomes when it comes to health in general.
Mm, boy, that's so good. In Hebrews, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for our souls. It leads us through the inner curtain to the inner sanctuary. And excuse me, I just did a Facebook Live session the other night on that, and just the thought that, and you think of an anchor from a boat, it goes down in the water out of sight. But this anchor is upward and forward into the inner court. I mean, our hold is secure. You know, his hold on us is so secure. So while we can know that these trials will not last forever, and there are moments of reprieve, as you say, there's an ultimate fulfillment of his promise. No more weeping, no more tears, no more sickness. And we can, that's a no-so hope. We can know that.
Absolutely.
And walk in faith.
Yeah. And, and being in the predicaments that we get ourselves in with our health and the life challenges that we face, the more we actually face that and feel that, the more value and gratitude we have for the promise. Because you've got to have those valleys before you can really appreciate the gift that we've been given. And so for me, even though it feels awful in the time, it's something that gives us a frame of reference for how good we're going to have it. And
that's
just absolutely, I mean, that blows me away to when you can really grasp the difference between the two, because it makes you just so much more thankful.
It does. Yeah. Boy, and gratitude is also so good for the soul. And one thing John Eldridge said yesterday is when you're in that place where, life can be brutal on earth, it just can, but to just say to your soul, a little while longer, just a little while longer,
yes.
because that fulfillment is coming. And, you know, I looked up flourish, and these were some of the descriptive words: grow, increase, thrive, prosper, and multiply. And to me, that's kind of so much about what your mission statement is all about at Synapse. But the idea of us thriving, of things multiplying within us, you know, growth happening, increase. I just love for you, just from your perspective and the people that you're helping, what you're after when you think of these words. What do you want to see happen? What does flourishing look like?
Well, for flourishing, everyone has a gift, and everyone has skill sets, stuff that they're good at. And so when people are sick, it really becomes a lot about them. And then once people get beyond their disease and they become stable, really good people start to make it about others. And that's when we start to see changes, not just we see more and more growth. For people to be fulfilled in life, eventually they have to get through the personal growth phase of it and into an impact component of it. And the impact part of it has nothing to do with them. And what we see is as people become healthier mentally, chemically, and physically, and spiritually, we start to see a change with who they are and where what they value and what they're doing. And people start going beyond themselves. And the majority of people that I talk to, who you can tell they've been through the journey, and they may have started out just trying to get their health back, trying to get their finances back on track, trying to get their life squared away. In the end, they may have these riches, material or material riches, maybe not, but just they feel rich in life. They feel wealthy. Every single time we talk to them, they don't really care about those riches. What they're most thankful is who they became in the process of that personal growth and then being fulfilled. That's their most sincere thing that they want to hold on to. Yeah. They're so thankful for that part of it. And that's they wouldn't give that away for the world.
You know, scripture talks about to give you treasures in the darkness. And those are the treasures that you say we actually pick up in the valley. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we've got a question, a caller with a question. And I've got an email question that I want to get to you as well. I just want to tell you, we're celebrating the release of my editor from Bethany House Publishers. He happens to be a beautiful artist. This is a gorgeous coloring book by Andy McGuire. It's titled All Things Bright and Beautiful. It's like a creation coloring book. Bethany House is offering 10 copies to give away. And I thought it was just a good fit for our conversation on flourishing. So these 2 hours of Live the Promise today, 10 copies will go out the door. Just email me if you've got a question for Dr. Troy, include that. But if you automatically include your mailing address, you're automatically in the drawing. And we'll be taking your questions when we come back, 877-933-2484. And we'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a great day. Really glad you tuned in today. It's one of our favorites. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We do this once a month. And just giving you a heads up, I won't give you any more details than this, but we've got another live studio audience opportunity coming up in the near future. So more on that. So be staying tuned with that. Also want you to know I'm just promoting my editor, Andy McGuire. He's also an amazing artist. Bethany House just released this gorgeous coloring book. Oh my goodness. It's titled All Things Bright and Beautiful. It's just a creation coloring book with scripture on creation and just the galaxies and leaves and trees and mountains. Gorgeous. We have 10 copies. If you want a copy, email me. We'll get your name in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget the mailing address. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Amy's checking in from Elk River with a question. Hey, Amy, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Troy. Hi, Susie. My question is, are you familiar with homeopathy? And as a Christian, is it okay for Christians to use it? Because I feel that there are very many Christians that are against it or don't feel it's, biblical or Christian to use, and I would like your opinion.
It's a great question. With everything and like everything else, it's very important to know where it's coming from. So I will tell you that my point of view is that the actual homeopathy is okay, but you still have to look at the source. So there will be some aspects of homeopathy as Christians, we do have to be very wary of as far as where it's coming from based on who's creating it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what homeopathy is. It's actually where you take a substance and you dilute it to the point where there's nothing really left except for the potential energy print of the product. And so what it does has it gets your system activated through a very, very, very weak physical concoction. And it's mostly dealing with the energy print. And so when you start talking about energy, then all of a sudden that opens up a whole new world. Now, and that's where you have to be careful as a Christian. So if someone is putting different aspects of, or if they're just tweaking it a little bit and making it more about different energies other than what's in there, you have to be careful. So there are some trusted sources for homeopathy. It actually works like vaccines do. So if, like a vaccine, they'll give you an attenuated virus or a weakened virus, so your own immune system can then create antibodies to attack it. Homeopathy is like a very clean, similar type of scenario, but they've basically diluted it to the point where it's just an energy imprint. So I've seen it work, so I know there's value from a healthcare side of it. I would just make sure you're getting it from a very reliable source. Look for key scenarios out there that would tell you that they're not necessarily from a Christian base or some long lines of just look for the words that you know that aren't really in alignment with what we believe as Christians.
Hmm. Thank you for that. Thanks so much, Amy. All right, so this dear listener wrote in and said, Susie, recently had an amalgam, how do I say that again?
Amalgam.
Yep. Fillings replaced over a two-week period in the hope to remove toxins in my body. A few days after the second procedure, I experienced a loss of peripheral vision with a mild headache. Plus, since that time, I've noticed a tingling sensation around my face, sometimes in my hands, down my right leg, all the way to my toes. Excuse me. I've done some reading and believe it may be mercury poisoning. I've begun a detox supplement program, which includes 2 morning tablets, 2 evening charcoal tablets, also using probiotic once a day. I'm also getting cardio exercise in the morning and either using sauna or Epsom salt bath in the evening to help expel toxins. I'm staying positive, but it's very frustrating that my intended goal was to remove toxins, and yet I found myself in a worse state. And he says, side info, I'm 54, blood pressure usually around 138 over 62. Glucose is typically normal.
Yeah, so it's very, very important. Our protocol is before amalgam removal is to do chelation therapy before and after. So this person is talking about, that is more in alignment with some level of exposure to heavy metals. Mm. Mercury is the most common one in the amalgam, especially at the age of 54, if it's been there for a long time. The challenge is that the mercury vapors or actual mercury, if it gets into our system, will affect the nerves quite readily. So it's important to do the chelation. So the activated charcoal that I'm talking about is good. That'll buffer some of the reactions, but we need a chelator. So as long as the chelating agents are strong enough, then you can actually work with that. So it doesn't sound to me, if they're doing 2 a day, it's probably not a strong chelator agent. At this point, you don't fool around with that. You need a strong chelator agent. DMSA, which you do need a prescription for nowadays, is recommended, and EDTA can both be recommended. And as long as the kidneys are doing okay, then you can start to pull the mercury out. Heavy metals are literally heavy, so it takes a lot more to pull them out. So picture an anchor being pulled at the bottom of an ocean floor, and that's what mercury is like. It's so heavy, it falls down into our fluid-based body and system. So as it's being pulled out, it can kind of drag up on certain tissues. So you have to really do it when the kidneys are healthy. But at this point, with it being done already, you don't want to fool around with that. You want to get the mercury out and then rehab the nerves a little bit, which usually just requires a little extra B vitamins and some methylators to help with that scenario. But chelation is the word that you want to go in for. There are some doctors here locally in the cities that will do IV chelation. That might be the best place to look at
right now. What is chelation? Is that detoxification?
Well, that's another way of saying it. Chelation just basically means that it's binding to the other product and pulling it out.
Okay.
So like when we are absorbing something, you can have chelated minerals, which means you've taken an amino acid and it's bound to the mineral and it gets easily absorbed. In this process, we're doing chelation where the DMSA is binding to the heavy metal and pulling it out. And it's on a 1-to-1 ratio for the most part. Mm. So you have to stay on top of it. And it's important you can get a heavy metal urine assessment done to just see what exactly we're dealing with, because certain things, mercury is the most likely, but there could be some other metals in there as well, and certain things work better. Once, if the kidneys aren't strong enough, then you have to use lesser, not as strong products like oil of oregano and some other. MetalloClear is a good product that you can use from Metagenics. Doing things like that to help pull it out, it's a little softer and more gentle, but with that exposure, we want to get on top of that right away. I don't know if I've shared the story, but do you remember me ever talking about Mad as a Hatter, where that came from?
Faintly, but I don't enough to... Yeah, you should tell it again.
Well, the reason why that saying came about is because back in the day when we used to wear the tall hats, you'd go take it to a hatter and they would stiffen the hats. And the products that they used to stiffen it contained a lot of mercury. And so these hatters were basically inhaling the mercury vapors and fumes, and it would affect them neurologically. So we know that excessive mercury exposure can really start to increase all kinds of neurologic scenarios, including Mad as a Hatter, psychosis, psychiatric disorders, dementia, cognitive challenges. And so the numbness and tingling is a sign when it's that close to having the amalgams removed. It's very important to jump on that and take care of it right away.
Mm. How about coconut oil? Would that be one of those things that would help him at all, the coconut oil pulling? Is that too mild when you're talking about mercury?
Too mild and not an active chelator.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That will help with the pearly whites, and it'll help with the gums and stuff like that as far as the health there. And the thing about heavy metal exposure is it can set an environment and change the pH of environment, and then bacteria, bad bacteria that you don't want, can start to grow and flourish. So it'll help with that part of it, but it won't pull the metals out.
Mm. Okay, we're coming so close to... I'm wondering, Pam, I'm trying to think if we have time. Let's get her on and I'll ask the question, and then if we have to hold on to the other side. Pam's checking in from Colorado Springs. Hey, Pam, thanks for holding. We have a hard break coming up in about a minute and a half. So if you could ask your question and hang on and you can maybe answer. But go ahead, Pam, we've got you.
Yeah, well, hey, Susie, calling from Colorado Springs. Friend.
Hey. Oh, hi, Pam. Pam. Okay.
Yeah, so, hey, what I'm calling about is, Dr. Troy, we have been in a season of waiting for some answered prayer in employment. And what I have known during this season of waiting in my body is that it has just really reacted in crazy ways. My thyroid quit when I was 19 years old, and now I am a grandma of 5. And so it's been a long journey. I also have autoimmune disease. I have Sjogren's, and so it causes a lot of inflammation and just kind of dryness in my system. But I've just noticed that the typical things that I was able to control before this season that we've been in of waiting, I really haven't been able to stay on top of. And of course, there's an emotional roller coaster that goes with it. And just wondering if you have any advice for the connection between these prayers that we are waiting on and what happens in our body physically with kind of the emotional roller coaster of up and downs that we go through in just the seasons that maybe many of the listeners are in.
Pam, you are such an amazing influencer. I hope you can hang on the short break here at the bottom, just I think a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So we'll reset with Pam's question and have Dr. Troy answer it. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is of the Promise. Have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl in studio with us. He joins us every month for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And because our theme at the open of the show was flourishing, I decided to highlight my editor from Bethany House Publishers. Annie McGuire is an amazing artist, and he did this gorgeous coloring book with Bethany House called All Things Bright and Beautiful. And it's got this gorgeous, like, metallic looking lion on the front. But there's all these creation scripture and pictures, butterflies, cougars, lions, just gorgeous. And Bethany generously is offering us 10 copies to give away during this show today. So if you want in on the drawing, just email me, put coloring book in the subject line, give me your mailing address. And if you've got a question for Doc, you can include that as well. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And I see a couple calls coming in, but Pam, if we could get you back on the line, I want to reset and make sure I've got you. So that Pam has been, she's calling in from Colorado Springs, has been in a season of waiting, significant waiting, for employment at this stage of their life. I can imagine how stressful that would be. They've five grandkids, and they still have some work years left in them. But all these autoimmune issues have sprung up. And Pam, if you could kind of recite those autoimmune issues, the health issues, and then Dr. Troy can speak to it.
Yeah, absolutely. My thyroid absolutely quit when I had my first son at 19 years old, and now I'm 52. And so I have been challenged with thyroid issues for a really long time, back before, you know, I didn't even know what a thyroid was when I was 19 years old. And it seems like we talk about it a lot more now. But along with that, I have a family history of autoimmune disorder, and I have Sjogren's and some inflammation issues in my body. And what I have found in this season of waiting is that the stress of it, or my adrenals, whatever it is, that everything just is not responding in a typical way. Mm. And so I'm wanting to know the connection, really, between the things that we're waiting on for the Lord and answers of prayer and provision. Is my body not releasing because of that same waiting?
That's a great question. What do you say, Doc?
Yeah, so with autoimmune disease, once you've been diagnosed with one, there's a higher probability you're going to be diagnosed with another one. So I want to just kind of back up a little bit. And this is one of my passions, is autoimmunity. And it's the fastest growing disease in the United States. And so it's something that's very, very relevant. And a lot of people, most people with autoimmune, don't know they have autoimmune. And so there's eight factors for autoimmunity, especially when it starts with when the thyroid is one of the culprits. And what I'm going to do is kind of go through those eight triggers and bring it around to why this happens and why now there might be some challenges. So the eight different factors for autoimmunity are: infection can trigger an autoimmunity from bacteria, virus, fungus, yeast, imbalances, vitamin D imbalances, and that includes genetic polymorphisms is the word we use for them. Vitamin D challenges, where you can't absorb or use vitamin D properly, or you just have low vitamin D. Number three is estrogen dominance or hormone imbalance. Specifically with thyroid, estrogen imbalance is one of the main triggers for that. Food allergy or intolerances, inflammation secondary to food imbalances, and a lot of people don't even know they have it. With autoimmunity, there's a lot of silent food allergies, especially gluten. Number five is heavy metals or environmental toxicity. Number six is stress, and that does also include sleep disorders and problems getting to sleep can trigger autoimmunity. Seven is more specific to thyroid, and that's iodine imbalances, too much or not enough is usually the problem. And eight, a trigger is pregnancy and menopause. Those are both triggers for autoimmunity. And so the way I want to say it is, autoimmunity, another way of saying it, is confused immune system. So there's areas of our immune system that tell the other parts of the immune system where to go and what to do. And when your immune system starts attacking your own cells, there's confusion there. And so if it happened after your first pregnancy, then that's one of the triggers. And that usually relates back to a hormone imbalance or something else that was already set up there. So you have to make sure your vitamin D levels are good, between 50 and 80. Very important to be taking fish oils and antioxidants called glutathione. Now, at this stage of the game, stress is one of those triggers of autoimmunity. So managing the stress becomes very, very important. And we were talking a little bit about that at the beginning of the show, as far as the hope and completely resting in just the idea that you will be taken care of, that it will all work out. And that's a big part of it. Also, you may need to support the adrenal glands and the different stress factors. It's also important to know that if you don't have the immune system working 100%, then it will not take much stress to trigger the autoimmunity scenario. So it's really about balancing your immune system, getting the vitamin D, the fish oil. You've got to make sure your blood sugar is managed as well during this whole process, and get that fully addressed. The problem or challenge is those eight factors that we talked about all have to be looked at when you're in this state. So stress will cause the adrenal glands, which is the stress gland, to release cortisol or adrenaline. Cortisol inhibits both thyroid function and inhibits or is opposing to insulin. So it really becomes a juggling act of balancing your ability to keep a good blood sugar, make sure you're getting enough exercise and stimulus to your cells. And it's important to find and identify something that'll offset the stressors. So for some people, it is physical exercise, going to the gym and working off the stress. For some people, it's prayer and meditation. For others, it's soaking in a tub, the old Calgon take me away scenario. Mm-hmm. And for other people, it's being in the Word and just getting that. But there, a lot of times, getting that stimulus, if you will, a lot of times we have to be actively doing something until the season is done. And so the challenge is, once the season is done, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to be back on track and you'll start to get back into a balance. And that tells us that stress was really the driving force and it was causing a lot of challenges to your physiology. If things continue afterwards, it means that there's consequences in the immune system still that have to be regulated. There are some great herbal products out there. Ashwagandha is one of the things that you will probably find the most benefit right now, because it will help to regulate your estrogen scenarios, the hormones that are involved with estrogen, the insulin, and the cortisol. It'll help bring a little peace to the uncertainty, if you will, from a mind-body component here. Now, with pregnancy being the initiator here, my guess is there's going to be a problem with estrogen dominance still, even if you're through menopause, which I didn't get that information, but estrogen will probably need to be dealt with at some time. So you have two choices here. You can just manage the stress until the employment issue is resolved and then work on the other underlying autoimmune scenarios so that builds up your reserves. Or you can start doing it all right now and take this season to really work on your health. There's a great book that you can read. It's called Why Do I Have Thyroid Symptoms When My Labs Are Normal? By Dr. Datis Karizian. It's now about 8 years old, I guess, but it was the first book on autoimmune thyroid, and it'll talk about a lot of the factors that go off and what you can do from a diet and nutrition world. You'll be shocked how cleaning up your diet is much needed right now. You won't be able to get away with sugar, gluten most likely, dairy, and possibly a few other foods just because of the heightened stress, how it really dampens the impact on your digestive system.
Mm, wow, thank you so much. Ashwagandha, do you have a preference for a brand?
I use a product called Cortisolve from Zymogen. Mm. I also use a product called Adaptocrine from Apex Energetics.
And those both have...
They both have ashwagandha in them.
Ashwagandha. I just want to make sure I said that right. Hope that helped you. Pam, thanks so much for that. Okay, Rebecca, checking in from St. Paul. Michael, we got you next. Rebecca's calling in from St. Paul with a question. You're on the air, Rebecca. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about fasting in seasons where I have felt led to fast a lot, but wondered about my metabolism and... what that might do in the long run, and if there's anything I could like proactively do to counteract the effects, if there are any effects from me fasting frequently.
Love this question. Fasting is very, very healthy for us. And so there's different ways to fast. So I would say that that right now one of the popular trends in just everyday life is intermittent fasting, where you're taking a certain period of time, you'll only consume food from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. or during that same time range. It can change depending on what your time range is. And then you have an extended fast through the evening and the early morning. And that can be something that works for you as well. It's all about giving your digestive system a break. And the interesting thing is, when you look at the Bible, it talks a lot about fasting and getting to know God more. So I am a huge fan of fasting. Can you overdo it? Absolutely, yes. You have to be careful. They do have fasting centers where you can do long-term fasting under the guidance of practitioners who are going to just be checking, make sure everything's going okay. But the reality is, when we give our body, our digestive system a break, it gets really cleaned out. And for people who have fight or flight or other stress scenarios, that starts to melt away. And one of the things I've seen is that our own life. So when we're talking about flourishing spiritually, a lot of that can you can help that process by cleaning up your digestive system, and fasting is one of the ways to do that. when we don't have all that inflammation going on internally in our digestive system, and we start to clean up all the junk from everywhere else in the body, then we start to get more clarity in our mind, and we start to get away from our mind thinking about what's going on with ourselves. And we can actually see people have more of a connection to God in those moments. Mm. So our own health can get in the way of that. So I'm a huge fan of the fasting. Metabolism can be impacted, but nothing is permanent. It's basically, unless you do damage, of course, but for the healthy shorter-term fasts, you will actually serve yourself well to do a fast and then get back into a regular routine, if you will, and your metabolism shouldn't be impacted for long-term. It will be temporarily, but that's okay. Just listen to your body and really have an awareness of your energy levels. And if for some reason you feel worse doing a fast and you never come out of it, you have to check your blood sugar, make sure you're not in a hypoglycemic mode. So you have to be healthy enough to fast to a certain degree. But it's really, really good for the majority of the people out there. So start with the smaller fasts, go into intermittent fasting first, start with a 1 to 3 day fast. And then if you want to do something longer, you can look into doing it with people together or going to a fasting center.
Fantastic. We're going to pause here, Michael. I'm so sorry, but we got to take a break. Michael from Sioux Falls, if you're able to hang on, we'll get your question right after. But also got a listener who wrote in and said, I've been pregnant or nursing for 3 years. This last birth was traumatic, followed by a DNC. And she said she has 6 girls, 3 under 3, and her husband and she are church planners, and she wants to know what she can do to feel more like herself. I'll give the full email. His eyes got really big just now. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
He started something good, I'm gonna believe it. He started something good and he's gonna complete it.
I love that song, and it's such a reminder that we're unfinished, so but we can rejoice in the journey. Mercies are new every morning. And one promise that I just love, Dr. Troy from 1 Peter, it says, after you've suffered a while, God himself will strengthen you, uphold you, and put you in a spacious place. And that always reminds me there's an end date to your suffering. And both Dr. Troy and I are huge proponents of cooperating with God in the healing process rather than wanting just to be zapped. There are adjustments we can all make. Health and healing with Dr. Troy. Taking your questions, 877-933-2484. Michael's checking in from Sioux Falls. He's been patiently holding. Thanks for holding, Michael. You're on with Dr. Troy.
Greetings. So I got a lot of my questions answered just being on hold, which was awesome.
Cool.
So let me sum this up, I guess. So I had my thyroid glands removed when I was like 12 years old. I suppose back then they thought it was a lot easier just to remove them than to maintain them. But so I've been on synthetic thyroid, mainly Synthroid. For a while there, I was on levothyroxine, but that didn't really bode well. So I went back onto Synthroid. I was on 0.75 milligram for the longest time. And then I noticed, as we all do when we get older, things change and therefore levels change. I'm now at 1.75, which to me seems a little high. But then I remember you've talked about in the past about that, you know, how your thyroid levels could show normal, but they're not, or they could show that they're not normal, but they are, or whatever. I'm a little concerned because I'll be going in tomorrow to take my 6-month test. And I have noticed a few symptoms and signs. And the short end of the story is this. I like to freehand write. I've been doing it for years. And usually when it's sort of a barometer to me that when I can't write anymore, like it's like everything stiffens up and everything freezes. It's usually a sign that I'm on too much of it. And sure enough, I'll go in and the doc will say, yeah, we'll lower back down to 1.150 or something like that. But I'm just wondering how in the world I can maintain this, but I think you might have answered a lot of it by doing fasting and that, what was it, Ashwala, or how do you say that?
Ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha.
Okay. There it is.
There it is.
All right. So, Doc, do you want to speak to Michael?
Yeah, definitely, Michael. A lot of what we just talked about is relevant, but at the same time, there's a few other little bits of information that you might find helpful. One of them is that as we age too, our metabolism does slow down a little bit. So we do see the need for thyroid to decrease a little bit. And so the other part of that is you can check for antibodies against your thyroid and make sure that they're all okay. So even though you're doing synthetic thyroid and you don't have the glands anymore, you want to make sure there's not any antibodies against the thyroid or what's called the transport binding globulin, because that will artificially make it look like you have too much thyroid. And one of the things you said that was absolutely crucial is to have your barometers. I love that you said that, because that's what I try and teach people all the time, is look for your barometers. When you can't write as well as you could before, that's significant. So don't ignore it. The thyroid's probably high, and trying to identify why that is very, very important. So have them check it. If they can check the antibodies, that'd be great. Just, you don't have to do that every time. But if you have antibodies against the thyroid, then you're talking about the need to really work on the immune system and figure out why did that happen. And then we go through that whole other conversation as far as, is there a hidden infection? Is there a little increase in stress? But generally speaking, as we age too, there is a slight decrease in need for the thyroid for most people, because our metabolism does start to slow down a little bit. So trust your instincts, trust what your barometer is telling you, and you'll probably have to go down on that. The other thing I'm going to say is sometimes we have, with autoimmunity against our thyroid, the majority of people do react to gluten, and even though you did better with the levothyroxine than the Synthroid actually contains gluten in it. So sometimes people have to go to a Synthroid-like synthetic thyroid that doesn't have the gluten, just to make that little bit of a change with how they feel. And I always tell people, doesn't matter what the labs say, you have to look at the patterns of what's happening with the lab work. You have to go by how you feel, because there's a range in the thyroid, and I have people who feel really, really good at the high end of that range and other people who feel really, really good at the low end. So trust how you feel and the barometer, but just know that there might be a little bit of a challenge with the gluten in the Synthroid, especially if you know that you can't tolerate gluten in other areas of life. And hopefully it's just the fact that your metabolism, the need is not there. And you'll be able to see that reflected, and the doctor will, in the full thyroid panel, where they check for what's called T3 uptake. And so have them do a full thyroid panel, including antibodies, and that'll give you and them the answer as far as what to do. And most likely they're just going to have to drop the dose a little bit.
Wow. Michael, thank you so much. We wish you God's best with your doctor appointment tomorrow. See a few of those calls coming in while those are getting processed. And we're coming close to the top of the hour, but don't fret, because we have another whole hour with Doc. But this dear listener writes in, my body's been through a lot of trauma recently. I've been pregnant or nursing for 3 years. This last birth was the most traumatic and followed a DNC because they didn't know that they had left a large piece of the placenta for a month in my uterus. Wow. I have 6 girls, 3 under 3, and my husband and I are church planners, so our schedule's ridiculous. I was just wondering if there's anything you could suggest to maybe get me feeling more like myself. I've always been very resilient or stubborn, depending on who you ask. Thank you so much for your input. What say you?
Well, that's a loaded question right there, because there's probably a lot going on, but to feel like our old selves, we have to look at the different scenarios there. And if after another pregnancy, she's not rebounding properly, and with that scenario, most likely we're dealing with a hormone imbalance. And I just want you to hear that our body communicates all the time. And so when the lining of the uterus is impacted negatively through any type of inflammatory reaction or the need for a DNC, there are cells and receptors in those areas that will send signals back to the brain. And so your hormones will be impacted in a lot of different ways just from that procedure. 6 different pregnancies will also do that. So it's all about where I would start is getting the hormones back. Check the adrenal glands and see where you're at. If you're in stage 2 or 3 adrenal fatigue, you will not feel like yourself. If there's a estrogen progesterone imbalance, you will not feel like yourself. So at Synapse, we really check the saliva hormones and then start to make recommendations based off of what they're telling us and what the adrenal glands are doing. For people to feel like themselves, or for women to feel like themselves after pregnancy, it's very important to get those hormones balanced. And just being a parent of multiple kids like yourself, I'm going to say you're going to need to make sure you get sleep. Mm-hmm. And if you have a busy life, both professionally and at home, it's important to get rested, because when you become compromised with a little bit of decrease in communication between any part of your body and the brain where the adrenal glands are part of it, you have to rest and recuperate. And sometimes we are so strong-willed that that works against us when it comes to reestablishing the adrenal glands. And so I have to force my type A's to sit down and relax and take care of themselves guilt-free.
I think there's a line in a movie that says, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash. Now, Dr. Troy didn't say that to me, but he did say that I had more mental fortitude than I had physical strength. And so I was one of the people he was saying that to. And this dear listener, you sound like you're a multitasker as well. And that is where it is, like, more than what I should or ought to feel like. If I feel like this, I've got to listen to it and take the cues from my body more than my drive, right?
Yes, absolutely. I love the mindset, but like you say, you have to check that part of it, because it's a mind-body connection. And so absolutely love the mindset, and we need more of that. Mm. However, the mind has got to listen to the feedback it's getting from the body.
Boy, that's so good. So we've got a couple minutes here before we hit the top of the hour. And this dear listener didn't want to be on the air, but she was wondering what would cause someone with high blood pressure for 20 years to experience low blood pressure to the point of blacking out. What do you think?
Ooh. Okay, so high blood pressure for 20 years, and I'm assuming they're probably on some medication for that. Low blood pressure, we have to make sure there's not a bleed somewhere. That's the first emergency thing that comes to mind.
Wow.
If you stand up and are blacking out and all of a sudden have low blood pressure, you've got to look for a bleed somewhere. So if they have not checked in with their medical doctor, they need to check in with their medical doctor right away just to make sure we're not dealing with a problem with a bleed somewhere. Severe anemia can also start to set that up. Protein imbalance, there's a lot of variables here, but we've seen people also in that scenario where it was simply a decrease in the ability to break down proteins. And so the albumins and the proteins in the blood started to decline because they had low stomach acid, and that could be caused from multiple different scenarios. So the first thing is to really check and make sure it's nothing severe or serious, and go get the doctors to check that out. If there's blood in the urine or stool, that's significant, and let them do their due diligence to just make sure you're okay. Sometimes you have to change the medications, which they will also address at that time. So you want to make sure that everything is okay that way. Once that's been cleared and it's completely checked off that you're okay, there's not a bleed, then you can start to look at more of the functional stuff. And most times it'll deal in the anemia or kidney scenarios, or digestive, I should say. So that has to be checked out there. So a low-grade infection in the stomach called H. pylori can actually set that up. We've seen that. So something has changed significantly. We need to figure out what that is.
Very good. And that takes us to the top of the hour. Anne from Woodbury, I see you. I will get to you when we get over to this second hour of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, in with Dr. Troy today, taking your health questions. We've got stacks of emails that we've not tackled, and they keep kind of transferring over from month to month. So we've got plenty of questions to tackle, but we always want to give priority to calls if you're able to call in. It's a toll-free line, 877-933-2484. And thanks to Bethany House for giving away 10 copies of this gorgeous All Things Bright and Beautiful coloring book, totally illustrated by my editor, Andy McGuire. So grateful. So email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And remember your mailing address. And we will be back in a bit.